Welcome to the Indian Music Charts Podcast. This is a show where we break down the hits and analyze trends in the Indian music industry. This week, we're moving a little bit out of the charts. Earlier this week, Luminate, the company that supplies data for Billboard's charts, published its year-end report for 2023. And while it paints a pretty interesting picture of India's role in the global music industry right now, with several positive takeaways, it comes at a time when the music industry is experiencing services shutting down and layoffs at major labels. On this episode, we're discussing what it will take to fix the music industry. But first, as always, a look at the key movements on this week's chart.
Okay, I want to quickly take you all through the key movements on the charts. This week's biggest climber, moving all the way up from 98 to 22, is Appa Phir Milange by Savi Khalon. This is released under Single Track Studios. The highest new entry is King Shit from the EP Leo by Shub. A track is seeing a new peak, which is O Mahi from, how do you pronounce this?
Donkey. It's like a play on donkey, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was at number 7 last week. It's at number 5 this week. This week's number 1 has remained at number 1 for 5 weeks in a row. This is, of course, from the movie Animal. It's Pehle Bhi Main. So those are just some of the key moments. Obviously, if you've heard the last few episodes, you know that it's not a lot of exciting action on the charts this week either. So let me bring us to the topic that you kind of introduced us to in the intro, Amit. The Luminate report, right? I know a lot of people have already seen it, but for people who may be hearing about it for the first time, can you maybe talk a little bit about what is the Luminate report? And at a high level, what are some of the India-specific takeaways that kind of stood out to you?
Sure. So Luminate is this data services company. And as I mentioned in the intro, they supply the data for the Billboard's charts, which it was earlier known as SoundScan. And, you know, basically streams and sales are tracked by Luminate. And they also track streams on a global level. So this is how they've been able to put together this year-end report. It has some really interesting insights, but of course, we're going to look at the ones that are related to India. And the big takeaway from this report is that India generated over 1 trillion on-demand audio and video streams in 2023, which made it only behind the US, which had about 1.45 trillion plays. India was also.
Is this the point at which we can stop calling ourselves an emerging market, or how does that work?
I don't know. Well, I think we have to get to that a little bit later because, you know, we talk about that a little. And for anybody who may not know what a trillion is, like we didn't know, it is 1,000 billion or 1,000,000,000,000 and it has 12 zeros. Like a million has 6 zeros, a trillion has 12 zeros. And you might know if you've heard the show before. Math is not exactly Akhila and my strong point, so please excuse us.
But anyway, data is.
Yeah, a lot of data is. We were actually the country that had the highest growth in terms of the additional streams of the number of new streams compared to 2022. In 2023, we had 460 billion additional streams. Now, I don't know where these streams are coming from. I'm guessing they definitely track all the international, DSPs, which would be your YouTube Music, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music. And I guess, all the other, I attended the webinar that they had when they, released the report, and I actually did pose a question to them, and they answered my question.
Of course, you did.
The question was: Does this data include, Indian DSPs? And they said it does. Although on the list of services that they show you in the report, there's no mention of Gaana or JioSaavn or any of the big Indian streamers or Wink, for that matter. But I guess that we wouldn't be able to get 1 trillion. Streams without the inclusion of
Indian DSPs. I would suppose not, yeah.
And then the other big India figure in the report was that among the top global languages, Hindi was the only one to increase its share among the top 10,000 most played tracks of 2023. So they track these huge numbers in the top 10,000. The share of Hindi moved up marginally from 6.1 to 7.8, but it was the only one to actually have growth. The others, the number one is of course English, which fell a little bit. There's Spanish and there's Korean. So, there you go. Huge numbers. Sounds really exciting. But on the flip side, and this is global data, the Luminate study also stated that nowadays an average of 1,300,000, sorry, I'm going to say this again. Luminate study also stated that on average 1,003,500 tracks are delivered to DSPs every day. Now, this is a figure we've heard many times before, 100 new tracks being uploaded to DSPs every day, which is about 37.7 every
Okay, so you
year.
need to say 100K new tracks. You said 100 tracks.
Now, I said 100 and oh,
You just said
100,000.
100 tracks, yeah.
Okay. I'm just going to say that again. Now, the Luminate study also stated that 100,000. I'm just going to say 100,000 because I don't really know how to say this. Okay. The Luminate study also stated that at about, on average, over 1 lakh ISRCs are delivered to DSPs every day. Now, we've heard this figure before. We've heard that now, 100,000 tracks are, uploaded or released on DSPs every day, and this actually moved up 10% from 2022. That means about 37.7 million tracks are being released on DSPs every day. And the other interesting bit from this was that of these, 96% were generated by non-major distributors. Now, what they mean by non-major label distributors is, of course, the majors are all your Sony, Universal, Warner, but also somebody like Orchard, which is owned by Sony, is considered a major distributor. But now, before we get any further, we should tell people what ISRC is, and
Yes,
Akela, you deal with this every day, so.
I do. So, ISRC, I know like this word or this phrase gets thrown around a lot. It's actually International Standard Recording Code. So this is a 12-character alphanumeric identifier that your distributor will provide to you for any track. It is the unique identifier of a particular recording. So, for example, there could be many versions of the same track with the same ISRC. And this is actually how you can identify a song. And just for kicks, I went on Songdex before the episode to see how many results come up for Crown. And because it's one of my favorite tracks, this is the one by King. But if you just search for Crown, you actually get 46,000 results. Now, all of these songs are not called Crown. They'll be called The Crown. They could be Crown somewhere in the name, etc., right? But how do you know which is the one that belongs to King? He will have an ISRC for that particular track. But let's say tomorrow there is a shorter edit of it, or there's a remaster. The label can actually use the exact same ISRC and upload it. So this also becomes useful, let's say, for Bollywood, where a track comes out as a single, but then it's also part of the album, and you don't want it to be two separate entities, so you would use the same ISRC.
Yeah, and I think that anybody, any musicians here who have attended any sort of master class on releasing your music would have been told what an ISRC is. So you might already know, but for our non-musician listeners, there you just got one of the technical terms in the music industry. What Luminate further did was they decided to track a database that they had of over 184 million ISRCs to figure out just how much these tracks were being streamed. And again, more interesting data there. 435,000 ISRCs or tracks had over 1 million streams. Now, this is the super small subset that we're talking about when we talk about what makes the global charts and country-specific charts, right? And like when you talk about what makes the top 10, I think last year on Spotify in India, only about 50 tracks made the top 10. So you can see how few, and all those tracks were like streamed in the tens of millions. So some in the hundreds of millions, I mean, pretty small subset, but again, in the overall scheme of things, the other slightly disappointing set of data that they found out from analyzing this database of 184 million was that 45.6 million of these had zero streams, absolutely zero streams. It makes me wonder, and this is a good point that one of the analysts from Luminate, while they were presenting this data, said that, look, if you release a track, wouldn't you go and stream your own track at least once?
Yeah, you're
It's the least
right.
you
What's
can do.
happening, yo?
The least you can do is actually just stream it once, But 45.6 million had zero streams at all. And, but anyway, now let's go back to the more positive of it. 1 trillion, streams. India is really streaming like, and never before. At the same time, if you ask anybody around the world and anybody in the Indian music industry, they'll all tell you that DSPs are burning money and that the average musician still makes a piddly sum of money from streaming, whether it's video streaming or audio streaming. And just to sort of exemplify this again in a very sort of, we hate to be a downer, but these are the facts. The thing is that there's a tradition in the new year for label executives to sort of send out a letter to their staff, and Universal and Warner both did this. And Sir Lucian Grange, who heads the global head of Universal, sent out his letter saying that they were now the most successful music company in the history of the music industry. Now, that might seem like a very sort of hyperbolic statement, but you must realize that some of the artists on Universal, just two of them, Taylor Swift and Drake. So, that just gives you another interesting bit of data. In the US, last year, one in every 79 tracks streamed was a Taylor Swift song. So you can just tell how massive it is. Yet, on the other hand, just a few days ago, Universal announced that it was laying off a bunch of staff. So it kind of seems, doesn't kind of make sense. Most successful music company in the world, in music history, in fact. And you're firing people, something's a bit off here, right? So, but anyway, now this is a very, we should have warned you at the beginning of this episode, take out your notebooks and pens or pencils because we're going to
Hey,
share a
we're
lot of
warning
data
people
here.
now. You can pause the episode, get your pen and paper or
And if
your
you are a
note
long-term listener, you
taker.
probably already have a notebook and pen out. So, we talk a lot about, Luminate data, a lot of which is global, a lot of which is also US-centric. So, Akhila, there was another interesting report specific to India that was released in December. And I think it's a good time to add a bit of local insight to tell us some stats on that.
Yeah, you're right. We always need to contextualize, international data with, a local layer. And Ernst & Young, they put out this report towards the end of 2023, where they essentially looked at the Indian music industry, right? And
The
I mean,
publishing,
publishing specifically. And it
sector,
also had a lot of very interesting insights for all of our listeners. So let me just talk through some of the ones that kind of stood out to me. And, I think it really does an interesting job of painting a picture of the state of the union, especially for like artists from India, right? But let's start high level. The value of music generated from India, right? Both from direct and indirect sources, they peg this at 12,047 crores, which is approximately $1.45 billion. This is basically only 6%, by the way, of the media and entertainment sector. So we'll come to what else was a part of this bigger pie, but for ease, I'm going to actually speak in dollars, right? So this $1.45 billion, what does it actually comprise of, right? Digital platforms contributed 683 million, which is about 47% of the total revenue. So as much as we and a lot of people might be complaining that, streaming services and digital music is not generating the value that it ought to, it is actually taking on a significant portion of all value that is being created. Okay. This is followed by broadcast, which is at 522 million or about 36% of the total pie. So in India, broadcast is still very big. It's not all digital, right? That's something to bear in mind. Film entertainment is at 144 million, 10%. Concerts and events, 96 million, that's about 7%. They also interviewed musicians as a part of this report, and 87% of the respondents, they said that they would like to make a living off of music alone, but only 60% of them are able to do so. 12% of them said that they actually never had music as their full-time career. So if there is this sentiment, right, and the sentiment is, it's been there for a while that artists don't get paid enough, right? The sentiment is true because it is factually correct, but it's also because there isn't enough money to go around in the music industry. So is the music industry undervalued? Yes, but you have to see it in a zoomed out lens to understand why. Okay. But just to give context on how undervalued it is, or rather, what is the scale of its value, right? I just mentioned some time back that according to this report, music is 6% of the total media and entertainment pie. So there's definitely a monetization problem that needs to be solved for. And I think that's a much larger discussion, maybe for another episode. And but Amit, I want to turn the lens back on artists, right? What does all of this mean for artists?
Yeah, so I mean, if we just look at the recorded music industry, right? And which is what the IFPI, the International Federation for the Phonography Industry, publishes the Global Music Report. Now that comes out in March, that for the previous year, and that again showing you, like you said, about India as a market and how it is kind of unique. Now, according to the Global Music Report for last year, that is in, sorry, not last year, year before last, in 2022, revenues from subscriptions in India actually fell by 6%. In contrast, those from ad-supported audio streams grew by almost 70%, and those from ad-supported video streams they shot up by almost 88%. Showing you just again how strong YouTube is in India. Just looking at those growth figures and how we remain a very poorly penetrated market in terms of paid subscriptions. But again, now here's where it is. Huge amount of consumption on these free platforms, but the revenue from ad-supported video streams was lower than that of subscriptions. And it was one third of the revenue generated from ad-supported audio streams, right? So it's no secret that the ones that need revenue from music to continue making music are the ones affected the most, and those are musicians, primarily musicians who have full-time careers, very few of them. And I just want to tell you, give you an example about how little they make. And so when people talk about, there's this new controversial kind of policy that Spotify is saying is going to implement soon this year, is how that they're going to only allow tracks that have at least 1,000 streams in a 12-month period to be monetized, and this is a rollover period, so it sort of goes back to zero at the end of the month, so it's not like a calendar year that you can go on 1,000 streams. It's like within a 12-month period, the track needs to own at least 1,000 streams for it to be eligible for monetization. I was talking to an independent musician the other day, and I was just discussing with him whether how much this is going to impact him or them, I should say. They said that you know what, I make so little amount of money, and their tracks would be eligible for these streams because they do make streams in the thousands, not in the hundreds, not in the millions, but in the thousands. And what they told me that the amount of money they got from, say, Spotify last year was just about enough for them to pay for a Spotify subscription,
Oh,
for an
man.
annual Spotify subscription. So you can figure out that math on your own. So it's just ridiculously low amounts of money. So what can musicians do? Now, one of the things that they can do is, of course, make sure that they get all the possible money that they're entitled to, which would mean money from publishing, royalties that they're entitled to if they sign up with a collection society like IPRS. Now, the fact is that most musicians are scared to sign up with IPRS because they've heard all these stories about how, and this was discussed at All About Music when one of the musicians actually brought this up as a question during a panel and said, and this is an open secret in the music industry, that if you want to get your song played on the radio, radio stations will make you sign an NOC saying no objection certificate saying that I do not belong to IPRS or Novex or PPL or any of these royalty collection societies, and I allow you to play my track without paying me any royalties. This is similar to some of the contracts they have to say, sign, even though legally these are, I mean, they're completely illegal, these kind of things, because according to the copyright law, you cannot waive away your right to royalty. So this musician posed this question to the CEO of IPRS, and his response was kind of like, you know what, you can sign it because it's illegal anyway, so it won't hold in court. So
Oh, that's
rather than
interesting.
not getting your music played, go ahead, sign it, let them play your music, and whenever we do collect the money from the radio stations, it will be given to you. Now, the other thing is, somebody else asks, so apparently the number of radio stations that actually do pay these royalties are in the single digits or something like
Oh, wow.
that. And he was saying that, so when, or I don't know, it's stations or, because their radio is also a bit of like oligopoly, what is it? Oligopoly? One of those, it's not a monopoly, but it's
Oligopoly.
not a oligopoly. Is that
Yeah,
it?
I
Yeah,
think
so
so.
something like that. But it's all these big conglomerates that own like these huge stations. So I don't know whether it's just a couple of them that are actually
Yeah,
big.
I mean, a
And
few handful of big media companies own pretty much all the radio stations.
So,
They differentiate by naming it different brands, but
yeah.
the owners are few.
And just like similarly, none of the Indian DSPs, I think, save for Hungama, have actually, signed deals with IPRS. So you're not going to get any royalties from a Gaana or a Saavn. All the international ones have them, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube. So, I mean, so there's little, very little sort of to actually entice musicians to sign up, or there's this sort of kind of atmosphere of fear that's surrounding them. So
And the
according to the
EMI
same
report
report,
had
he
like some
said,
wild
yeah, I had a
numbers,
stat
right?
check. So according to the EY report, only 13,500 creators, and that by that they mean authors and composers or sort of songwriters and composers, have registered with IPRS from a potential base of over 60,000. So yeah,
Yeah,
so that
that's a
just
lot of
shows you
money
there's
left on the table.
a lot of money left on the table, a lot of money in that black box or whatever. And this is just one of the things that musicians can do, right? One
Yeah.
of the things that have been, and I know that IPRS is doing pretty good work in terms of canvassing people to join them. Like there was somebody from IPRS at Control All Delete, the Cowra Sundar Festival that we attended over the weekend.
Yeah.
There was nobody from a major label, at least I didn't notice anybody, but IPRS was there,
No, props to them for that. And but yeah, you're right. See, this is one of the many ways you can make more money. Like literally, please don't leave money on the table, right? But the two things I want to talk about, and since we're on the topic of artists, I think let's start over there. Anyone who will give you realistic advice on finances, right? And again, like disclaimer, we are not financial experts because if we were, someone else would be producing this podcast for us. We wouldn't be self-producing this. Is diversify your revenue stream, right? I think that's always like good advice. Only depending on one source like streaming is never a good idea, because in a world where streaming services can also shut, what happens when you are so heavily dependent on one or the other, right? And this is also why a lot of execs are really, really behind the whole community building aspect, right? A lot of managers also really backing this perspective of you really need to build your own community, right? And this really comes from the fact that what you want to focus your time on is increasing your average revenue per user, or something that in tech is called ARPU, right? Or generally in any kind of business. But what most people end up focusing their time on is increasing the user base, which is people who are not paying directly for anything other than streaming, right? And one like theory I've always found very helpful when we think about community building is the 1,000 True Fan Theory by Kevin Kelly, which was proposed in 2008, which essentially says that if you basically focus your time on finding 1,000 fans who are willing to spend $100 on you across various things, right? It could be merchandise, it could be live music, it could be a bunch of other things. 1,000 fans spending $100 each, that's 100K USD. That's a little over 80 lakhs, right? And even the Luminate report itself, it had a section about super fans, and they specifically spoke about K-pop, where they said 50% of K-pop fans are likely to purchase merchandise for a concert that they never attended. And the optimal price for said purchase is $30. Like, you don't even pay that much for music streaming, right? And that's something you really need to think about as an artist. What value can I deliver? Can it be smaller events just for my fans where the experience is really, really curated? You can charge a premium. I have artist friends who do literally like similar to CAD, right? Pay what you want. And there's a lot of generosity that is there in, these super fans. And but for that, you have to create value. So there's definitely some onus on the artist to do that. In order to do that, you also have to understand your listener a little bit deeper. And at the same time, I also don't want to take the onus away from fans of music. Y'all please pay for things, right? Like, see, listen, music streaming is actually like even the subscriptions that we pay, they're quite reasonable. In fact, I don't think the money I'm paying Spotify is truly covering anything because I got an offer and I think I'm paying like $300 for the whole year, right? But if there are other ways to support artists that you like, we have to do our part as well, right? Like buy t-shirts, buy merchandise. These are things that you could use in your life, right? Pay for the gigs, right? Right? And like these are things that fans also have to do because at the end of the day, the money coming into this industry is because someone finds value and they're paying for it. And we also cannot pass the buck.
And I think that a lot of artists are also trying to focus on that. Like a lot of them will like release their album on Bandcamp exclusively like a few weeks in advance. And on Bandcamp, you can pay, you can purchase the album, and they have Bandcamp Fridays where every first Friday of the month, all the money goes to the artist. They don't even take a cut. Although Bandcamp themselves are having a bit of financial trouble recently, so
We need new models, we need new
so
models
yeah,
of generating
but
value.
and sort of the coming back to the K-pop thing, I mean it's quite amazing and quite incredible how it's not only now K-pop. I mean, you're seeing international other like huge superstars taking a leaf out of their book, like somebody like Taylor Swift, releasing multiple variations of the same album and like having these merch packs with each album. I remember for her Midnight's album, she had four different album sleeves, and then you had to put them together, and you were able to sort of mount them on a wall, and they turned into a clock. So automatically, you're forcing somebody to buy like four CDs, or four vinyls,
Exactly, right? Like
to sort of
you
build.
have to
But then,
drive purchase.
yeah, and but again, I think it's you need to get to that level. So I just wish that everybody would think that way, that look, it might seem that okay, but not everybody's Taylor Swift, but thousand is not such a big number. It's not as intimidating as like the millions of streams you need to generate on Spotify just to get a decent amount of money from them. And there are artists that have, and we've heard like
Dude, put 1,000 more in context. In 365 days, that means per day you have to find 2.7 fans. Let's take that as three fans, okay? It's not two adults and a baby. It's three humans a day. Break it down as simple as that,
And it's not like you're going to find 1,000 fans in 1 year and then no in the next year, right? This will keep accumulating and
They'll be
keep
with you
building on that
forever.
figure. But that should be your target, I think, rather than basically trying to sort of think about, oh no, I need to get like 10 million streams on Spotify. And because if you do get 10 million streams on Spotify, or you do get like or you have like a number of tracks that are generating 10 million streams, you will get paid decently. And we heard like on our podcast before, and on panels that we moderated, like artists like Ritviz and Anuj Jain are making decent amount of money only from streaming, but they are streaming as much as say one of some of the biggest like sort of Bollywood acts. So there you can't really compare. That's that minuscule sort of top, very top of the pyramid. That is getting those streams. And so yeah, I mean, so then don't maybe. Focus. I mean, I think independent artists, in a sense, are already doing this. Some of them, they don't even bother with the Indian music streaming services, and they don't even bother with the YouTube, because anyway, they're not going to make that much money from them, so they focus only on the international services. But even in the international services, I mean, it sometimes amounts to as little as 5 paisa per stream. So,
Yeah. And again,
it's
like I want to just share some context because I know there's a lot of angst against streaming services. You also have to understand that they can only give you as much money as they make, right?
yeah,
So
because all
only if
carved
more
out of
people,
a pool. Yeah.
exactly, right? Only if more people subscribe will they have more money to give to, the artists. Only if advertisers are advertising a lot. Right, and that is such a volatile market because festive season it goes up, that around summer it goes down, right? So they can only pay as much as they make money, which is again why it becomes important that
Yeah.
fans actually buy
Yeah.
subscriptions,
And I think that, like you said, we have to sort of maybe think about different mindset because, look, clearly this is not working. Like to convince people that they need to pay for music, it doesn't seem to be working. But you can convince a fan to buy that t-shirt, even if they're never going to wear it. And that t-shirt will probably cost, say, even if it costs 500 rupees minimum. That's the same, like you said, like an annual subscription for all of Spotify because some of the deals or any other music service because that's some of the deals they offer. But let's end on a slightly optimistic note. I will defer to the founder of Believe, Mr. Dennis or Denny. I'm not even attempt
I
to
don't know,
pronounce
dude. You
his
met
second
him. I
person.
haven't.
Yeah, you have met him. He is your super boss, but
Yeah, but I've never met him. You have.
I
So
have met him.
you know more than me.
So he said to me for an interview I did with him for Music Ally, said that basically, and I'm just going to quote him directly, that basically India's advertising revenue market is in its infancy, but they are doing very well in India. It's their fastest growing market in Asia Pacific, and probably the top market in the region. But he said that markets typically take 20 to 25 years to mature. And India is probably what? We're about 10 years into the whole streaming thing. And he says
Yeah.
that paid subscriptions, when you model paid subscriptions, we see the same trends everywhere, which is typically you go from no paid subscriptions to 0.1 to 0.25 to 0.5% of the population. Right now, India is at 0.6%, and this was in the middle of this was last year in 2023. Next year, which is in 2024, you will be at 1.1 or 1.2%, very minuscule again in terms of percentage terms, but double of what we were the previous year. And the year after 2025, you'll be at 2.5%. Again, very small figure, but doubling, and it's going to keep doubling. So it'll be in 2026, 5%, and then after years. After that, for 5 to 6, 7 years, it's going to grow at 3 to 4% every year towards 25 to 30% of the population. Now, any musician is going to be saying, I don't know if I can afford to do this for the next 20 years, But, at least even from that point of view, I think that there is some hope that, at least those figures for recorded music will change. And we will see more money coming out of streaming. But again, the fact that UMG and the reason why somebody like UMG is laying off employees is simply because for them, they also operate in a lot of markets that are completely saturated. And what's happening in those markets right now is that because of that, because markets like India that are growing in terms of streams aren't generating enough revenue. Whereas the markets that do generate revenue are kind of saturated, and revenue growth on the whole is slowing down. It's not falling, but the percentage growth is slowing down. And, like you said, they've talked to shareholders, it's a public company. So one of the moves that they always do to make sure that they're doing something is sadly lay off staff. So I think the conclusion of this episode is yes, the music industry is it broken? Maybe that's perhaps a very pessimistic point of view. Are there very huge cracks within it and things that need mending? I think undoubtedly
Probably.
so. Yeah. So
And
and
all
yeah.
fixable. I think it just takes a lot of different stakeholders, from fans to artists to execs, to kind of
Yeah.
do incrementally a little bit every day so that in the long run it compounds, you know?
And I also want to say props first for doing this entire episode and not mentioning AI or blockchain throughout.
The hell, you just did. But
Until
anyway,
now.
we are doing so well, Amit. We were doing so well. Anyway, now we're tech bros. That's who we are. But anyhow, that was honestly one of my favorite episodes. Y'all, please let us know what you thought. If you're on Spotify, we'll obviously leave a poll. We'll leave a question for you, and we will see you all next week.